This is a new series we're starting today called U-Haul. It's going to be a no excuses kind of sermon series. If you're prone to like, oh, I feel sorry for me, or please help me feel sorry for me, you're going to feel really bad for about 4 weeks. Okay? Because I'm going to be here to try to help you carry your load. Okay? And I'm going to do my best to help you. But you're going to have to carry your own load. All right? But the good thing is, you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit, the living God, who's come alongside you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you have other believers. You have the Word of God. You have prayer. You have so many things that can help you make it. Amen? But excuse making usually never makes it. Excuse making just gets somebody to feel sorry for you a while, and you can just be carried along a little bit, and then somebody else comes along. But when are you going to stand up and shoulder the load? And say, you know what? I can make this. Me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. Amen? We got it all worked out. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at a 4-week series. And we've called it U-Haul. My wife came up with this one. U-Haul. You might wonder how we come up with sermon series. Usually just talking back and forth with people. This one is U-Haul. We're looking at personal responsibility. Y-O-U-Haul. Got it? Say. Y-O-U-Haul. Hall. Turn me down a little bit, Dick. I'm going to blast them. Here we go. Just a little bit. Let's go, Raj, with the message today. Look at that soldier. Okay? Where's he at? Maybe, who knows? Might be in Afghanistan somewhere. Okay? This first message in the series, U-Haul, is my personal responsibility. And we're rolling, Raj, with that clicking going on. Here we go. Let's look at it. We're going to be in the book of Galatians at least this week and next week. And without getting too deep into it right now, the book of Galatians was written to a group of people, called themselves believers, who had much more emphasis on rules than they did on grace. They had their focus was on, yeah, Jesus died for you, rose from the dead, but yeah, Friday, you got to go get circumcised. And Monday, you need to go do this. And you know what I'm saying? They were adding to the grace of God. And they were actually people that were being free from their sins, becoming believers in Jesus. Here the church was putting them back in bondage. Does that make sense to you? Alright? I mean, if you have a tendency to look at somebody's hair and say, well, their hair is too long. Or if you look at somebody that comes to church and they have a pair of slacks on, a lady comes in a pair of slacks and you say, well, she should wear a skirt or a dress. If you have that kind of tendency, and a lot of churches have that, and that's how I became a Christian in a church like that, and I grew up with a lot of that. I mean, for the fellas, your hair wasn't even supposed to touch your ears. I've said it many times. If I had hair now, it'd be real long. That ain't a problem with me anymore. Amen? I lost that ability. Amen? My point is, listen to me. Hang in here. Listen. This book of Galatians was talking about that. We're not going to look at the whole book, but we are going to look at this thought of personal responsibility. And what's my responsibility to other people? We're going to look at that next week. Let's look at it. A legalist. They were legalists. A legalist is someone who always demands more out of others than he does himself. I put myself up by putting you down. You understand? Yes or no? You'll kill a church if you do that, by the way. If you are those kind of people, there's plenty of churches that would love to have you. We don't. We need, when people come here, to be lifted up, not put down. You hearing me or not? Say. People need a hand up, friend. Not to say people that come don't need to be discipled and teached and trained. We'll do that through the Word of God, and we'll do it through love and kindness. And us lifting them up has nothing to do with your feeling good about yourself. You see what I'm saying? Or putting them down gives you crazy. A legalist is someone who always demands more out of others than he does himself. He's always harder on others than he is himself. A legalist. I mean, the former church I was at, we had people, I mean, actually, they would patrol the lobby of the church. They didn't have official duty, but they would patrol the lobby of the church. If somebody's in a little skirt, it's too short or something like that, they'd tell them. Many churches run, somebody can come dressed a certain way, somebody will go to them by the end of the service or after the service and tell them the way it ought to be before they get back next week. I don't want to be a part of a church like that. Y'all listening or not? Say. Here's our rule right here. Ladies, come covered up. Can you do that for us? Say. Wear what you want, become covered up. It's hard for the preacher to preach when you're uncovered. Excuse me. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? And I don't care, fellas, how you wear your hair. I'm just glad you come if you got hair or not. I'm glad I get, yeah, thank you, brother. I got three, him and him, they look about like me now. Look at them. They got the goatee, they got the bald head. Y'all good. Listen, we don't care. I care about you, about your soul. I care about you and your life and your sin life and things that's got a hold of you and Satan's, you know, got a control perhaps in your life. Why don't we deal with some big issues? You know what I'm saying? A legalist. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You can think all day long you're better than somebody else. You're deceived. Jesus is Lord, not you and not me. Amen? We need to hit the ground at the cross. Amen? Come on. So let's look at a spirit-led Christian. Now that's what I want to be, a spirit-led Christian. A spirit-led Christian always demands more out of himself than he does of others. That's what I want to be. That's why often when I preach, the message I'm preaching on the stage is to me. I'm the screw-up. I'm the one that needs to do better. You know what I mean? That's what I want. I want to be a spirit-led Christian. He's always harder on himself than he is on others. See the difference, yes or no? We need to be spirit-led. If you start having an unusual focus on what somebody else is doing or how they part their hair or whatever, you ought to let that be a red flag to you. How can I take that energy, which is useless in the direction you've got it going, and turn it in such a way that I can take that same energy and pressure and put it on myself? That I can be better. Amen? People have said, I've lost weight. I know I've lost weight. Amen? But let me tell you, had stress. There's been stress. Stress. But, thank God, able to sort of turn that stress, and I've been taking it out on Breyer's ice cream and on cereal at night. Amen? Knocking the snot out of that and getting that out of my life. Amen? Sometimes, I mean, and that's the idea of this thing with the Christian life. Instead of putting that pressure on somebody else so you can feel better about yourself, why don't you ask God to show you things in your own life, get that pressure off somebody else, and put it on yourself. That focus. Y'all listening or not? That is called personal responsibility. I'm not responsible for what you do or what you don't do. Now, as a pastor, I'm a shepherd of this flock. But at the end of the day, you still have to be responsible for your actions. I can't do it. Are you crazy? I got plenty of problems with me. So that's what this little book's about. Let's keep looking. A legalist often gets a kick out of other people's failures and shortcomings. Yeah, they get a kick out of it. I don't understand how that works. But as somebody else screws up, they feel better about themselves. That's screwy. Amen? When somebody else fails or messes up, if anything, ought to go, if not for the grace of God, there go I. Amen? Or how about this? How can I help them? Or maybe when I see somebody else fail, maybe I can start to arm myself better. Amen? If that could happen to them, that could happen to me. Not getting glee out of it. A spirit-led Christian often kicks himself for his own failures and shortcomings, and I think that's a good thing. You might disagree with me. I think it's a good thing. You screw up, won't you kick yourself? Amen? Come on, kick yourself square in the rear end. If you can get that foot around there, do it. It's good. Let's keep looking. Galatians 6, 4, and 5. But let every man prove his own work. His own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in who? Himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Would you say verse 5 with me? One more time. Pop it down there. Oh, there it is. For every man shall bear his own what? Come on, boy, y'all killing me already. Help me one more time. For every man shall bear his own burden. This is a day right now at church, on Fellowship Church, you can learn what your personal responsibility is. If you'll listen, set up, listen. How can I bear my own burden? How can I not be a legalist? How can I be spirit-led? How can I, instead of kicking somebody else, I start kicking myself? So set up. Let's go. Let's learn. It's right here in the Bible. The word burden, it says, every man shall bear his own burden. So today we're not really talking about bearing somebody else's burden. Got it? We'll do that next week. Today is bearing your own burden. Let's don't worry about somebody else's burden, because if you ain't doing what you need to be doing, you sure can't help them folk. Amen? Every man shall carry his own burden. This word burden, it literally means a soldier's pack. Can you say that with me? It literally means a soldier's what? Come on one more time. It literally means a soldier's what? That's what it is. It's right there. That's what that word means. Every man shall bear his own burden, his own soldier's pack. You've got a pack, I've got a pack. Each soldier of Jesus Christ must bear their what? Own pack. Do you see a pack? Say. What's the word burden mean? It literally means a soldier's pack. Okay? It's not some house that's come down on you and you're crushed. That's not what the word means. Okay? You're not under that burden. It ain't the world has come down on your head and you're carrying the earth on your neck. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a soldier's pack. It's really important that you understand that. There are some things that only you can bear. There are some responsibilities that are yours alone. They're in your pack. It's your pack on your back, Jack. Say that with me. It's your pack on your back, Jack. Now you got to help me. Come on. It's your pack on your back, Jack. How do you get off being a soldier, yet you don't get to carry your pack? You putting your pack on somebody else's back, Jack. That's not how it works. A soldier. What's my responsibility? You know what my responsibility is? To bear my own burden. My responsibility is to carry my own soldier's pack. Okay? It's the burden that Jesus assigned. Okay, my bag's a little different than your bag. You understand? Yes or no? What's in my bag's a little different than what's in your bag. But we're going to look generally, though, today at some things I think that are in both of our bags. But there's something in your bag that Jesus has assigned you. There are certain things we must bear which others cannot bear. You cannot put what's in your back on somebody else's back and make it their responsibility. We do it. It's not right. That's not how we function as a group of soldiers. Amen? Soldiers work together. They take a hill together. They fight a fight together. Amen? But they don't do this. Uh-uh. You fine over here. Can you carry my soldier's pack for me? Shut up! No! Not at all! Not going to help you at all. Now, when the enemy comes, I'll fight. I'll stand right next to you, toe to toe, and we'll fight the enemy together. But don't be asking me to carry your pack on your back. As we're going up there, can you help me, poor baby? Well, you need to just go back home. That's what you need to do. Because no, I'm not going up that hill with your back and my back on my back, Jack. It ain't happening. You're assigned to carry that. It's yours. It's your responsibility. And I'm not doing it. Y'all understand where we're headed? Let's keep going. By the way, this spoke to my heart this week. This helped me this week. I got help this week in my office. Thank God. There's a scripture in Matthew 11. It starts in 28. Jesus says, verse 28, take my yoke upon you, he says. He says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, he says. And then he says this, for my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light. Pop it up. Listen, there is a pack on your back, and it's not that heavy. It's not that heavy. You gotta lose this idea. Oh my gosh, the pack on my back, I can't carry it, it's too heavy. It's not that heavy. Come under the authority of Jesus. Put his yoke on you. You belong to Jesus. You've traded in on him the sins of the world. You were heavy laden, man. You were weary. He has taken that from you. And you get this new life by putting yourself under His authority. I believe in you, Jesus, and you alone. Put that yoke on you. You listening? And realize that there's a burden with that yoke. But it's not that heavy. Amen? I traded the sins of the world that were on, the sins of me, you know, all my sins. I traded all that and hell and everything to get this backpack. Was that a good trade or what? Say. Yeah, man. I mean, I gave all this. Lost, man. The devil, everything. And I got this bag. Oh, but it's too heavy. It ain't too heavy. Your burden is light. Say that with me. My burden is light. I want you to get the head. My burden is light. Okay? Let's keep looking. But it's your burden. It ain't my burden. Why ain't your burden my burden? Because I got my own burden. Your name's on your bag. Okay? Okay, there's mine. Got it. That's yours. See, mine was next to yours and it had my name on it, and that one is now on my back. The Clark bag's right there. Your name's on yours. Put it on. Okay? For every man shall bear his own soldier's back. Amen? Let's keep looking. What does all this mean, Clark? I know you're like, oh my gosh, what does it mean? What does it mean? I love it when you're like that, all spooky looking. Here we go. U-Haul, baby! U-Haul your little pack. U-Haul that soldier's pack. That's what we're talking about today. It's my personal responsibility. Let's go with it, Rod. Now we're rolling, buddy. It's not your responsibility to be in charge and point out how others are not carrying their load. That's not your responsibility. Okay? That's a legalist. He does that. It's your responsibility to carry the pack on your what? Back. That's what we've learned so far. Keep looking. U-Haul. My personal responsibility is the title of the message today, and we've got four things we want to say. So hang in here with me. Four things. You can get these on the web tomorrow, download everything you've seen, or you can write them down. And what's cool is I just used Galatians 6. So you can go back and review Galatians 6, and you can just pick this right up, okay? Here we go. Number one, what's in my bag? What's in that pack? Say that with me. Prove your own work. One more time. Prove your own work. Do that one more time with me. Prove your own work. Look at verse 4. Let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in somebody else. Okay? Listen, prove your own work. What does that mean? What is in my bag? Here's what's in my bag. Instead of me looking at you and figuring out what's wrong in your life, I need to test my own actions. That's in my bag. I can't hand that off to you. I've got it. Inside my bag is something that says, Gary Clark, prove your own life. Prove what you're doing. Check yourself out. Test your own actions. Shut up. Are you hearing me today? Test your own actions. Rather than comparing yourself to somebody else who's not measuring up to you, step back. Take an objective look at who? You. That is in your bag. Do you see why I can't carry your bag? How can I prove your work? How can I open your bag and look in your bag and test your actions? I don't know your heart. That's only a job you can do. But it's so easy to not want to test your own work. Deal with your own life. It's so much easier to deal with somebody's hair length. Deal with the way they dress. Deal with something they do. You see how stupid that is? Say, see how the enemy works? Say, test your own actions. Listen, look at your own accomplishments and successes. Look at them. I mean, in a good way, that's the cool thing. When you start to do this, you'll get blessed. It's not all bad. There's some good things you've been doing. And that's good stuff. Look at how you're doing with your own pack. Prove your own work. Spend your energy there. That's in my pack. Listen, prove your own work. Say that with me. That's in my... So prove your own work is where? It's in my... So what's number one? Prove your own what? Where's it at? It's in my... Should I be proving somebody else's work? Huh, that's not in your bag. Huh. Prove your own work. You can rejoice in what God has done in and through you. As you prove your work, you're going to be able to rejoice in what's happening in your life and what you're doing for God. Romans 12, 2 and 3 says it this way. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's our word, that ye may what? Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you? For I say, through the grace given unto you, unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of what? Faith. So what's the point here? Prove your own work. Did you know you can take pride in God's work in your life? I'm not talking about where, look at me, I'm somebody special. No, look at your work and what God's done in your life. And you'll give God credit and glory for that. So often, though, we take pride, but it's by putting somebody else down. Or we take pride and puff ourselves up. That's not what the Scripture's saying here. Prove your own work. Pop it up. That you can say, look at what God did in my life. Are you hearing me today? I might be the only one excited about this. I don't know, but I like it. It helps with a lot of problems. If I look at my pack, and then I start to look in there and I get my focus off of somebody else's pack, off their life. And then the beauty is I start looking, and yeah, I find mess, and I have to kick myself. But you know what else I find when I prove my own work? I find, look at what God's doing in my life. That's pretty cool. Amen? And look, I got excited and encouraged without putting anybody down. Isn't that great? Anyway, personal responsibility. Number one, pop it up again. Pop, no, just in our mind, don't pop it up. But number one, what's the first one? What's in my bag? Prove your own work. That's in my bag. Number two, wow, I'm wore out. Here we go. Share from your own resources. Oh, it's going to get ugly here in a second. Here we go. Share from your own resources. Look at what the Bible says, just in Galatians. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Keep moving. The word communicate means what? Share. The word communicate is the word koinonia in the Greek. It's the same word for the word fellowship. The word fellowship, like fellowship at church, fellowship means to have things in common. You know what we have here in common at fellowship? We name it, it's our mission statement. We love Jesus and we love people. That's what we have in common. That's the thing that binds us together here. Amen? This word communicate is the same word that means to share, to have in common. Okay, to share is the actual word. That's in your bag. Did you know sharing is in your bag? Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if you could give me back your bag and I could share for you? Wouldn't that be cool? Well, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I have my bag, and in my bag is share from my own resources in my life. But that's in your bag too. You're supposed to share from your own resources. You're supposed to shoulder the financial support of the ministry of Jesus Christ. U-Haul. Well, I thought that was your job. I thought that's why I pop a dollar in. That sure ain't much sharing. I'd say when church giving gets to the place you can't even buy a soda with the offering, watch out. Excuse me. Share, man. Share. Share. This is a command from God. That's in my bag. I'm a soldier. What's that mean? Song. Now you know why people rather spend time putting other people down. Because they can put themselves up when they do that. Because shouldering a responsibility of the church means you're going to have to do something. Y'all listening? We got spooky. Share from your own resources. Would you say this with me? That's in my pack! It's something when you start realizing you got that pack and you start to look at it. Oh, really? That's in my pack? Because many of you, you're coming to Christ, you might not even have known that's in your pack. That's in your pack. We all have a pack. Fellowship isn't made up of one person. Y'all listening? If we've sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Share your financial resources to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. That's in my bag. That's our responsibility. The concept for voluntary giving, that's very interesting. This was a revolutionary idea when Jesus was on the earth and when he started the church. The Jews taxed for support of the priest. The Gentiles paid fees, or they made vows to sustain their religions. You know how Jesus did it? He admonished us to share. That marks us. Did you know that marks us as a church? Say, it tickles me on Sunday when I can get up before you and tell you that our bills are paid. I want you to know, I want you to feel so good to know that you have people around you that are sharing out of their financial resources. That's a good stuff. Yeah, praise the Lord with us. Amen. I love being in a unit, in an army unit, where everybody has got their bag on. And everybody's got, you know, they're carrying their load. They're not fighting about what's in somebody else's bag. And things are getting done and victories are taking place. We're taking hills for God. Amen? That's what this is talking about. Jesus admonished us to share. It's always easier to give away other people's money. Hello. It's always easier to give away other people's money. Don't worry about what somebody else is giving. What are you giving? I tell you what, it's always easier to give away other people's money. That's all you need today to be able to run for Congress. Excuse me. Right there. A new poll was just taken. A new poll. 42% in this poll said they thought a better job would be done by going to a phone book and randomly pulling names out of a phone book and putting them in Washington. That's what the poll said. Listen, I'm telling you, to take from other people and give to other people, you know where the government learned that philosophy? The church. That's what we do. We think some rich guy's going to pull in here and build Fellowship Church for us. I hope he don't pull in. The spirit man of me says, I hope he don't pull in. I would rather us pull together. I think it'll make us better people. We'll enjoy it more. It won't be easy. But we look for that. Or the lottery. If I win the lottery, I'm going to help you. Wouldn't that be great with a soldier beside you? If I win the lottery, I'll get me some bullets and help save your tail. I'd rather you just find your bullets right now and help me right now. Amen. Come on. You hearing me today? What's in my bag? What's in my pack? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Corinthians, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart. What's in my bag? I got to do something. Let him give. Not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loves what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Lose the idea that I can't support the ministry of Jesus Christ financially, because if I do, I just ain't going to be able to make it. You will be able to make it. And you're going to learn that it was He that supplied your needs, and that's why you're making it. And also, you're following a command, and you're also a soldier that's doing what you're supposed to do, because that's in your bag. Amen? Share. Not sad, not mad, but how? Amen. God loves a glad giver. That's why at Fellowship, instead of you giving mad or sad here, you go on down to Denny's today, and you just enjoy that lunch with that money. Because if you can't give it to God cheerfully, it's not done right. Amen? Come on. Third thing, I hope you are all right. This is a load, isn't it? Number three, right in Galatians. Do good unto all men. Do good unto all men. Boy, you need to listen on this one. Do good unto all men. Do you see, Jesse, why I can't take your bag and you can't take mine? We both supposed to do good, ain't we? And Ed, you see what I'm saying? You can't just say, well, Gary's doing good for me. No. We all have to carry our what? Pack! As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of what? Faith. Amen? What's that mean? It's my responsibility to do good whenever the opportunity arises, period. That's in my bag. I'm a Christian. That's in my pack. Well, I did good last week. You're supposed to do good this week. As the opportunity arises, it's in my what? Pack. See, I can't do that for you. I don't live where you live. I don't have the surroundings you surround yourself with. You got to do good where you at. I do good where I'm at. That's my responsibility. I'm to help both believers and non-believers. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Isn't it funny, when Jesus fed the thousands, he didn't ask them to show the little membership card what church they went to. He didn't have a line checking hair, see if your skirt's too high, too low. You understand? But no, I'm to help all believers, but I want you to get this one down. Believers are to have the priority in my good help. Believers in Jesus Christ are to have my priority in my good help. Where'd you get that, Clark? You got it from the Bible. We're to help people. Do good to all men. Can you say it with me if you remember? Especially those of the what? Household of what? Faith. So I'm to do good to all men. It's in my pack, both believers and unbelievers. But some people think you shouldn't help believers, because if we'd help more unbelievers, well then see, those unbelievers would get saved. There's only one problem with that. That's not the Bible. The Bible says, by your love shall all men know you're my disciples. You love on each other. You give to each other. You share with each other. You communicate. Do good to one another. And the Word of God, the Word's going to get out in the community. Wow, look at that place. Amen? And unbelievers are going to be drawn to that. The third thing is this. The needs of my family are to be met what? First, I'm to do good unto all men as opportunity arises. But the number one thing I'm to do as a husband, I'm to take care of my wife, I'm to take care of my house, my children. Am I supposed to give my children every Game Boy they ever wanted, yes or no? No. No, not at all. Not at all. I'm supposed to meet the needs of my family. But then I'm supposed to help other people, those of the household of faith. And then I'm also going to help both believers and unbelievers. Do good unto all men. If any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's denied the faith, that's worse than infidel. I'm going to get ugly for a second. Are y'all all right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. I would prefer you not giving money to people that come to this campus on Sunday morning. Are you listening to me? Okay? I would prefer that we don't get our heartstrings pulled because somebody comes and they want our money on Sunday morning. If you want to give money to people, that's your business. Okay? But remember this principle right here. Remember this principle. We're to give money to both believers and unbelievers alike. We're to really take care of the household of faith, and we're really supposed to take care of our family. Okay? Let me tell you how we do it at Fellowship Church. We don't take your money that comes in this offering bag and just give it to anybody that walks in our office. Look, I'm poor. I ain't got nothing. Let me have some money. You know what you are? You're a drunk. And you're going to take our money and you're going to go drink it. And you're not getting it. Are you listening or not? Say. Now that's hard because you feel bad. I feel bad. Oh, I just feel bad. Well, you know what? I've got a responsibility to other people too. Especially the household of faith. I really, really try when they're Christians. I'm not saying they're living a perfect life by any means. But at least I feel like when we're giving some money, maybe it's not going for drugs or booze. Are you listening or not? Now that's how we do it. Your church might do it some other way. I just think it's important. It's not easy though. It'd be much easier just, oh yeah, y'all come, we'll give you anything. We also give money on a monthly basis to Helping Hands Ministry in Englewood. Why do we do it? Because they actually screen people. Is it okay to take somebody's name and get a little information about something? Is that okay or not? Yes or no? I think that's a good thing. There's a recent report talking about panhandling in New York City. A good one can earn $60,000 a year. It's the best job going right now. I'm not trying to be ugly. We're trying to deal with the Scripture this morning. How many, be honest with me, your heart gets tugged, you see somebody, and you just feel like you're supposed to give, regardless. And how many have done that before and felt like, hey, you know, probably they might have just went and drunk that mess I just gave them. How many have felt that way? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you to think about what you do. Are you listening or not? Think about it. Why? Because it's in my book. I'm a soldier. I've got to be smart with the resources that God has given me. I want to help believers and unbelievers. I certainly want to help believers in Jesus. And I certainly want to take care of the needs of my family. That's in my pack. That's why I can't carry your bag. Your bag's your bag. My bag's my bag. Got it? I know this is an interesting subject today. What's in my bag? Here's the fourth one. Glory in the what? That's in your pack. That's in your pack. Look, we found it right there in Galatians. Here it is. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation. What is my fourth responsibility? What's in my pack? Glory in the cross. Here's how I wrote it. I glory in the fact that Jesus Christ loved me so much that He willingly shed His blood for me on the cross. That is something I have to do all the time. It's in my bag. It's part of me being a soldier. I glory in the fact that Jesus Christ shed His blood for me on the cross. You see why I can't carry your bag for you? That's my job, to glory in the cross myself. Amen? Come on, praise the Lord. If you want to praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen? Come on, listen. It's my responsibility to glory in the cross. Well, I don't ever think about the cross. I don't ever glory in the cross. Pick up your bag. Stick it on you. On a regular basis, you should glory in the cross. Amen? Glory in the fact that Jesus died. Glory in the fact that He rose from the dead. Glory in the fact that Satan is gone out of my life. My sins are forgiven. Glory in that. That is part of your bag, man. It's in your pack, Jack. Listen, it's my responsibility to glory in the cross, not the world. You know what I'm supposed to do with the allurements of the world? The things that pull at me, I'm to crucify myself to those things. See, that's my job. Do you see why if I worry about how long your hair is or how much you give or what you're doing, do you see how I think I'm going to be missing my job that I'm supposed to be doing? Yes or no? This is a load. I mean, I just unloaded four today and I've already got a lot of work to do. I can't worry about Wanda or Susie or Billy, Bobby. I got to worry about Gary. I need to haul my own load. Amen? Also, I want glory in myself. When I glory in the cross, then I'm crucified. And what I really care about is not mattering as much because my glory is in the cross. Hope that makes sense to you. I do this because why? He's made me a new creation. See, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. How can I do this, Clark? How can I glory in the cross? I can do it because I'm a new creature. I can tell you how I got saved. Gene, could you tell me? Boom. End of story. Alicia, could you tell me? Boom. End of story. You ought to be able to know when you were saved. You ought to be able to know that you believe in Jesus. You ought to be able to know that I believe in Christ. I'm a new creature because of Him. He's changed my life. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. And if you got that, you can glory. It's in your bag now. Woo, pull it out. Yeah! Amen? That's in my pack, man. Because Jesus put it in there. Now we're about done with the message. I went long today, but this is so critical. This is Labor Day weekend. Work on this. This is huge, man. We're done with the message almost. We're going to go with this. We're going to get it done. How do I know if I'm really carrying my load for Jesus? Clark, how do I know? How do I know? How do I know? Am I doing it? Listen to me. Hang in here. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Say that last part with me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. How can you know if you're carrying your load? Can't you tell a soldier sometime who's been off to war? Some of them come back with arm gone. Eye gone. Fingers missing. Some come back and they got mental struggles. Why? They've been marked by war. How can you know if you're a soldier? How can you know if you're carrying your load? Do you have the marks of Jesus on you? The Greek word for marks is the word stigmata. Okay? Here's what that word means. It means branding. It shows a sign of ownership. Okay? As you have carried your pack, have you been branded for Jesus? Have you been marked in your Christian life? Maybe misunderstanding because of your faith in Jesus? Maybe your family thinks you're an absolute lunatic because you give your money to some kind of church? Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Or they think you're crazy because you spend time reading God's Word? Say. Or you don't go out and booze around anymore? Sorry, I'm not going to do it together. They've come to Jesus and they said, you know what? We got to break up. We got to start. You need to live here and I need to live here until we get married. You're crazy. It looks crazy. You're a lunatic. No, that's the mark of Jesus. Are you listening or not today? Do you bear in your body the marks of Jesus? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live now, but not I. But Christ is living in me now. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm a marked man. I'm a crucified man. I have His mark on my life. Amen? This is what it's talking about. So how do you know? Do you have any scars? Do you have any marks? Do you have His branding on you? Are you carrying your pack, man? Or are you doing this? Are you coasting, say? You expecting me and somebody else in this building to pick up your pack for you? Well, I'm going to talk next week about it. I'm going to help you with your burdens. Sometimes they're a lot bigger than what's in your sack. They're more than you can carry. And that's where we come in. Amen? But please, please, don't make me feel guilty because I'm not carrying your little backpack for you. That's not my job. Got it? Say, if you can grab it by the handle and do this, it ain't my job. That's your job. Okay? Are you carrying your own load like a soldier of the cross? Look at it. He's got his own load. Are you carrying your own load? That's your pack on your back, Jack or Jill. She's got hers, don't she, baby? She's got it. She's ready to go. Pop it up, Roger. We about done. My personal responsibility, U-Haul. Amen? I think it was time well spent for us today, even though I went a little long. Come on, let's praise the Lord today. Amen? Good stuff.